to This Song, the podcast where artists talk about the songs that changed their lives. I'm your host, Elizabeth McQueen, and I'm going to just let you know from the get-go that this episode has a lot of Electric Light Orchestra in it. I spoke first to Borns and then to Carrie and Josh from the Austin band Calliope Musicals, and ELO is a major player in both interviews. And I say this because maybe you're like me, like maybe you're not so familiar with ELO. Maybe they just kind of existed on like oldies radio for you. But believe me, by the end of this episode, you are going to know some ELO. So let's get started with Borns. He's a singer and a songwriter, and his 2015 record Dopamine is this series of like really artfully crafted lush pop songs. And he was in Austin, Texas in March for the South by Southwest Music and Interactive and Movie and Everything Festival. And while he was here, we met up to talk for the podcast. And honestly, we kind of got our wires crossed. Like, he was under the impression that he would play a song for me, and he was ready with his guitar to play one. And I was like, no, I want to talk about a song, which, looking back, I had a chance to have Borns play a song for me, and I totally should have taken it. Anyway, we ended up talking about the song he was going to play, which was an ELO song. And that led us to talk about how he got interested in music and ultimately to talking about his own songwriting process. So here he is, Borns.
A song that I enjoy and that is very pleasing to play on a record, but also to just play on an instrument, is a song called Turn to Stone by Electric Light Orchestra. The city streets are empty now. The lights don't shine no more. The chord changes are very classic Jeff Lynne, very dreamy lifts and major to minor. Sort of melancholy feelings. It's just a beautifully written song.
Do you remember the first time you heard it?
No, I don't really remember the first time I heard it, because I grew up listening to ELO, but I recently started playing it on acoustic guitar. And it kind of just brought back memories of growing up listening to those records, so.
Whose ELO records were those? Were those yours, or were they your folks?
No, they were my folks. They had a pretty eclectic record collection.
Yeah. What was it about those ELO records? Do you remember? Like, it sounds like something you grew up just kind of listening to, that was just kind of around, but maybe that you were attracted to more than some of the other stuff that your parents listened to?
I guess the records are very much as visually stimulating as they are sonically stimulating. I just kind of like the symphonicness of them, very dreamy quality, just really elegantly written pop songs. And I'm a sucker for a song with way too many chord changes and modulations and stuff like that. But Jeff Lynne has this way of making it seem extremely simple, although it's quite complex, you know? He's found an art for pop songwriting that's very much just his own thing.
How old were you when you started to actually learn an instrument?
I was pretty young. My parents had a baby grand piano in their living room, and I guess, I can't remember how old I was, but I was probably like in kindergarten or first grade, just figuring out songs that my parents were playing, just trying to emulate them, trying to copy them, and just learning Elton John songs and just melodies that I liked on the piano just by ear. I think most of my musical education came from is just listening to records and just trying to emulate them.
Did you ever have any like formal instruction where someone sat you down and said, okay, now this is why these songs work, like this is theory? Or was it something that you always just kind of tried to figure out on your own?
As far as pop songs, no. That's always been kind of a self-discovery thing. But classically, I've like studied a little bit of theory, and I studied like some classical piano once I graduated high school, and just ear training and stuff like that. I didn't dive too far into it because I realized that I like knowing some of the stuff and theory-wise, but I also like keeping some of it a mystery and, you know, not being too literate because I think music is just kind of another spiritual life form that you have to tap into, you know? You can't really try to explain it.
You said that you're attracted to this ELO song or songs in general that have like way too many chord changes. When you started writing your own songs, was that something that you would try to do, like to put a bunch of different interesting movements and changes in your songs?
Not really. I kept it pretty simple. But over the years of discovering new chords and just like diminished and major and major, minor, seven augmented chords, you know, I just started like compiling them and seeing what would happen. So I don't know. To be honest, it's just a guilty pleasure. But I just find it interesting putting all those crazy changes in a song, but making it very palatable, you know, and having it not be too heady.
Having it not be the kind of thing where someone who doesn't know anything about music will listen to it and go like, oh, I'm out. I can't hang.
Right. Yeah.
And so you said that mostly the way that you kind of learned how to do music was by listening to other people. And was it like emulating them and then kind of figuring out what they did and then learning new things after you'd figured something out?
Yeah, I think it's just discovering their patterns, similar melodies that they always go to, chord changes that they use. Everyone kind of has a melodic personality. I'm always listening for that within songs, listening to it in my own songs too, like figuring out what I always do, you know, and are the melodies I always go for.
Do you try to figure out the melodies you always go for so that you can change that, or just so you can have knowledge about like, this is kind of where I'm at and what I'm doing right now?
I think it's just observing it. A lot of times in the moment I don't realize it, but after I've written a song, I might listen back to it and be like, oh, that part's just like this song or whatever. So I don't know. I'm always open to keep expanding my vernacular.
Do you perform this song, the ELO song, live now?
No, I don't. I mean, I just kind of play it on my own. Yeah.
Is it something that you go to for inspiration, or do you do just play it because it's like just nice to play and sounds cool? And
yeah, it just sounds cool. To be honest, it's just a song that I recently started playing during soundcheck. It's not like a song I play every night before bed or anything, or cry to in the shower. It's just a cool song.
When you're writing, is that kind of what comes first, a chord progression, or?
Not always. Sometimes it's figuring the chords out later, because it's like the landscape for the melody to like frolic over, you know? So you could have what seems like a really boring melody that just seems like a stroll through the park, but if the park is made up of these holes and lava underneath, a treacherous walk, what you thought was a walk through the park, it makes it a lot more interesting. So sometimes the melody comes first and the chords come underneath. Sometimes chords come first and melody is on top. Sometimes I just chop it up, mix it around.
Did the words ever come first? Are you that kind of writer?
There's always like a good amount of poetry or just poetic phrases, I guess, on my mind. Sometimes I have a phrase and it'll stick with me for like a month or however long it needs to until it fits into the right song. Sometimes I try to fit it into different songs. I'm like, it doesn't work in this one. And finally, you know, it works. Like one of my songs on the album is called The Emotion. And I had this line, islands under eyelids. And I wrote that down and I had it for a long time. And I was like, I really want to use this in something, because it was just very visual for me. I just liked the idea of your iris being an island within, you know, your face. And just the sort of the alliteration is nice.
When it finally happens, when you find that phrase that you've been wanting to fit into a song, does it feel like a eureka moment, or does it feel just like, oh, there it is? That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah, it's just kind of finding it's like, oh, that's where it belongs.
It's amazing to me how the brain is like the puzzle master or something. It's like this problem solver, and a lot of times all you have to do is go like, okay, I've got this thing. Mm-hmm. You let me know when you figure it out, then I'll be happy with the answer. Yeah.
Totally. It's like, am I just trying to say this because it makes me sound clever, or like, does it actually mean something, or like help the song? I think that's a big thing. It's like, sometimes you have to get over yourself. If you write a line that you're like, oh, it's such a clever line, but it doesn't fit really, it's like, it shouldn't be in there.
But sometimes it's hard because you want to be like, but if I need to put it in a song, yeah, so people will know, how clever I am.
Yeah. Right. Or so it just sails over people's heads and doesn't even matter. Yeah. So yeah.
Do you think that writing like that in general, do you think that getting out of your way or getting your ego out of the way is part of your writing process?
The ego's involved, definitely. But I try to catch my ego off guard or something. And I try to kind of like always put down my first initial idea and then just sort of completely abandon it. Almost to the point where it's not my idea anymore. You know what I mean? Because like, when you're working on something and you keep looking at it and you keep editing it and you keep changing it, it's a lot of the times it's your ego or like self-consciousness making weird decisions, because maybe you're thinking, oh, what is this going to be like when I perform it? And do you think can I say this on stage or whatever? But a lot of the times it doesn't really matter. So I like to get my initial idea down and then put it out of the way and then listen to it later. Almost like it wasn't my idea, like someone was suggesting it. And then I'm like, oh, and you can hear it differently. Because sometimes you can have an idea and think it's and then somebody else could suggest the same idea to you and you'd be like, oh man, I wish I thought of that, you know? So it's weird, yeah, the tricks your brain plays on you. But yeah, it's all about abandoning your own ideas and then rediscovering them like it's some golden nugget. Shadow.
You can hear emotion from the Bourne's record Dopamine, and this is actually the song that has that islands under eyelids line that he talked about in the interview. I'll post this song to the Spotify playlist for the episode. Since we never play full songs, we make a Spotify playlist for every episode so you can hear all the songs all the way through. Bourne's also came into Studio 1A recently and did a live performance, which I missed because I was on vacation and I was so bummed. But luckily, we recorded it and videotaped it and live streamed the show on our Facebook page. So I was able to check it out after the fact. And it's really good. And I'll post links to the audio for that show and the video for that show, which is up on ViewHouse, and to the KTX Facebook page so that you can experience Bourne's in whatever format suits you best. Before I go on, I want to ask that if you liked the story you heard from Bourne's, then please head over to iTunes and become a This Song subscriber. Or maybe you don't do iTunes. Maybe you're a Stitcher person. Well, you could follow us on Stitcher. Or maybe you don't do Stitcher or iTunes, but you're more of a Podcast Addict person. Well, go ahead and follow us there. However you listen to podcasts, we'd love to make sure you're getting weekly This Song episodes. Like next week, we'll have Adrian Quesada, who founded Grupo Fantasma and is now in Brownout, and who just released his own record under the name The Echocentrics on the podcast. And we'll also have Austin artist Graham Wilkinson, and you could just get it delivered right to you. I also want to let you know that KUT, our sister news station, has lots of great podcasts like Views and Brews that serves up discussions from the Cactus Cafe every couple weeks. The latest show features a look at Miles Davis's second quintet, There's a live discussion about the significance of this moment in music history, and there's also some great live jazz featuring drummer Brandon Temple and bassist Roscoe Beck and other fantastic players. All you have to do is search KUT Views and Brews in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts, or check it out at KUT.org. Okay, now on to Carrie Fussell and Josh Bickley from the Austin band Calliope Musicals. They're a band that plays what they term psychedelic party folk, which really is like a great description of the sound they make. They put on these amazing shows complete with confetti cannons and inflatable things, and the band like gives their all. They're totally my kind of band. They just released a record called Time Owes You Nothing, which is gorgeous, and it has an accompanying coloring book. Each page was done by a different artist and represents a different song on the record. Like I said, they're my kind of band. Carrie sings and Josh plays drums, and they're married, though they didn't make a big deal out of that fact. Like, I didn't even know they were a couple until they came into KUTX to record this interview. Anyway, they both talked about music that really helped them become the band they wanted to be, and get ready for it, because there is a lot more ELO coming at you, which is totally a good thing. So here they are, Carrie Fussell and Josh Bickley.
I was pretty nervous about picking one because I don't know. I obviously love music. I'm a big fan, like fan first. And so I kind of went back and forth a lot, but I ended up settling on Tightrope by ELO. My grown-up job, and I was working like a 40-hour a week job at a desk being a software account manager.
You were a software account manager?
Yes. Yeah, well, I graduated college and Matt and I had started this band and we really wanted to go on tour. We really wanted to make records, and I was like, well, we have to have money.
Yeah.
So, and he was working a full-time job, and I was like, well, so if I just get a job and save up some money, then I can do those things I want to do.
Cool.
So, I worked at this awesome, really cool company with really cool people. But I would just pretty much sit in my office all day and get all my work done and then cry. Listen to like Fleetwood Mac and just cry. People in the office would be like, we can cry quieter. We can totally hear you. I was just burned out, I think, just feeling like I just wanted to express myself all the time, and the idea of sitting somewhere for 40 hours a week for a third of your day, that's so sad to me. It's just sad, and I don't think that's how people are supposed to live. Whatever, we can talk about that for a while. But I would listen to Pandora, and Living Thing by ELO would constantly pop up on my Pandora, and I would always like it so I could get more of ELO.
Higher and higher, baby. It's a living thing. It's a terrible thing to lose. It's a given thing. What a terrible thing to lose.
And I remember the way the record cover looked. It was like black with that neon red and blue and yellow. And so it like was kind of burned in my memory. And one day I went to Waterloo and was flipping through the dollar bins, and I found a New World record, and I was like, this is the record that keeps popping up on my Pandora. And so I bought it, and I took it home, and I put it in, and the first track is Tightrope. And it starts out with this, like, very ominous, like, string section, like, like, what's about to happen? done. And I mean, I get chills thinking about it. It just like sets this awesome orchestral mysterious tone, and then it all of a sudden shifts out and just busts into this really fun, happy rock and roll sing-along.
About that song, like when you heard it, you were at this kind of, it sounds like you were at this kind of not low point, but just an exhausted point. Like
yes.
you were overwhelmed by everything that you wanted to do and everything that you had to do everything that you wanted to do.
Yes.
So what was it about Tightrope, like hearing, was it the right song at the right time? Like,
I think it was the right song at the right time. And really, I mean, I could pretty much go into an in-depth conversation about any song on that record. And it was really tough for me to pick one because, I mean, that it has like rock aria.
Just got back from a downtown party where the music was so sweet. Now we're right back in the alley, I'm ready.
Telephone Line and Living Thing and Mission, a New World record.
Watching all the days grow by. Who are you and who am I?
It's just like that album to me, and I kind of view that as one. It's one piece. It's something you listen to all the way through, and it's got this fun story and. So I guess Tightrope specifically, I just love the way that it's set up. And I really didn't know a lot of songs on the record when I put it in. And it just, listening to it just like set this tone for what the rest of the album was going to be. And I would dance around my room. I bought a lot of shoes at that period of my life as well. I had lots of shoes and I would just put on like my favorite shoes. And I lived in this tiny apartment that was all mine, and it felt like what I wanted to feel like, and the song sounded like how I wanted to sound, and it was kind of just this whole experience for me. It created this whole world where I could exist, and like I could close my apartment door and pretend like I was anyone I wanted to be.
I wanna look you straight in the eye.
Hey.
I wanna tell you how I really feel.
Strings, it's got opera singing, it's got pretty much everything that I wasn't really aware that rock music could have at that point. Like, it took away any boundaries and any rules for, like, I mean, I've always wanted a band that could do anything, kind of, and that wasn't necessarily like, this is a rock band, this is a country band, this is a indie band or whatever. I love the idea of being able to evolve and change and letting your music do that with you. And that's just, I mean, that record is that to me. It is this total exploration of like breaking all the rules. I love it.
Do you think that it changed your writing when you heard this ELO record?
Oh, without question. Without question. I mean, they sing about, I mean, so do you know Telephone Line?
I don't know Telephone Line. I mean, I feel...
Oh, Telephone Line.
Give me some time. I'm living in twilight. Oh, oh, Telephone Line. Give me some time.
Like, they write about anything. Telephone Line starts out with this guy, and he's like, hello, how are you? He's, like, talking on the phone to this person. It's just creative, and it's, I like to hope that it has. I mean, everybody wants to hope they're doing something unique and different. I mean, I like to hope that record, that people can hear that in our music, and that exploration of just like doing fun stuff and not necessarily feeling like you have to like 1, 2, 3, 4, ba-da-da-da, you know, whatever. Yeah. I don't know.
Hello. How are you? Have you been all right through all those lonely, 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 lonely nights? That's what I'd say. I'd tell you everything.
So on this new record then, is it more expansive than your other records? Did you take more chances? Was it more like
Definitely.
Just doing so, whatever yeah. you want to do?
Definitely. I wouldn't say it was doing whatever we wanted to do. We definitely pushed ourselves. There's tons of singing on the album, which is definitely an ELO thing. There's even some fun, like, operatic, like layers in there that kind of fill everything in, which is a total ELO thing. And, you know, lots of, like pads, strings, and, like, synth things that just kind of fill in and make it take up a little more space, you know?
Yeah.
And so, we definitely pushed ourselves on the album and did things that we didn't really think we were capable of. I love that, like, I don't feel like we're the same band that started recording the album, you know? And that's a good feeling. Like, I just think, like, evolution and change is so natural, and I love that as part of art.
Yeah, that's kind of what you want to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like, totally.
For the change to happen within you and then to happen within people who are hearing what you do. Yeah. Wow, awesome. I can't wait to listen to ELO.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so happy for you. I can't believe you get to listen to this for the first time. I'm kind of jealous.
It's morning in the ground sweat. My world is just waking up. I wish that I could see it, but my eyes are still tightly shut.
One of my other favorite bands is Blind Melon, and I chose a song called Change by them.
I don't feel the sun's coming out today. Staying in, it's gonna find another way. Yeah. As I sit here in this misery, I don't think I'll ever know, Lord, seen the sun from here.
Lyrically, it applies to our band, it applies to my life a lot, but it applies to the band, of kind of pushing yourself and knowing that life is hard and you just got to keep pushing forward. And the last song, the last line of the song is, life is hard, you have to change.
Life is hard, you have to change.
Do you ever listen to Blind Melon?
Well, I think I've only listened to the radio hits that came out.
Right, they had the song No Rain. And that was cool, but they have a pretty deep discography. They're known more for their loud rock, psychedelic kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And Change is a very stripped down acoustic song, and it's just the lead singer and his guitar. And the drums come in a little bit, but they don't play a large role in the song. And that was always very interesting to me, how much that song spoke to me, but it's also very stripped down, and it's not what I generally go for.
So, and you're a drummer.
And I'm a drummer. Their drummer's Glenn Graham, and he's phenomenal.
But you chose a song that actually it's not about the drums.
No, it's not, which, you know, Bonham, great. Yeah. Great drummer. Led Zeppelin, great songs. But the message of that song really, really struck a chord with me more.
And every I
question that I have about your song, Josh, is, I mean, it seems like you're really attracted lyrically to Blind Melon. And is that something that you also really dig hearing in the band that you're in? You know, these kind of like songs where you can, like, you feel like they're kind of taking people to this place. I'm not really sure what my question is, but I think we can kind of do that.
Yes. No, I try to imagine our shows, and this is kind of visualizing it for me, is a lot like surfing. Mm-hmm. And you get up and you ride the wave, and you have to ride it for so long until that each wave is a song almost. They can be different speeds, they can, you know, different tempos, and different things can happen all around you while that's happening. And to have everybody in on that and to get the audience included and have everybody up balanced and riding this one thing all at once is a really great experience. And that's what I think we try to create at all the shows.
Everybody gets to ride the wave together.
Everybody gets to ride the wave.
Of the Woos from Calliope Musical's new record, Time Owes You Nothing. And can we just all go surfing together while listening to ELO? Like, ELO. I'm officially obsessed, as I hope you are too. Calliope Musicals is actually out on the road now promoting their record, and I'll post a link to their tour schedule because maybe they're coming to your town. That would be lucky, right? And if they're not coming to a town near you, then you can still check them out. They came into Studio NA in January, and I'll post links to the View House videos from that session, and they did an acoustic version of Fleetwood Mac's Dreams backstage at Austin City Limits Festival last year that will blow you away. So I'll post a link to the View House video for that too. And that's it. We have come to the end of another episode of This Song. This Song is a production of KUTX 98.9. This episode was produced and edited by Jack Anderson, David Sanger, and me, Elizabeth McQueen, with help from Art Levy. And if you want to hear Jack Anderson on the air, he is on the air every Saturday night from 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. I recorded both the Bournes and Calliope Musical interviews myself. Thanks to Peter Babb and Diedrich Ott for their help on this podcast. And yes, our theme song is Mahout by Austin's own excellent hardproof Afrobeat. You can email us at thissong@kutx.org or follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Snapchat. We are at thissongkutx. You can follow us on Facebook, and you can subscribe to This Song along with other KUTX podcasts, liner notes, Song of the Day, and Austin Music Minute on iTunes or Stitcher or Podcast Addict or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, we'd love a rating or a review. Right on. Thanks for listening. I'll talk to you next time.